of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
A very warm welcome to our worship this morning as we think carefully about our love and care for the environment. One or two notices to give you, unsurprisingly perhaps at this time of year. There's lots going on in the life of our parish. There's Kayleys to look forward to, there's harvest lunches, there is information about those in the centre. Do sign up. Of course, this evening we have a service of commemoration for Her Late Majesty the Queen here at 6 o'clock, followed by a vigil until 9. And then next weekend we're celebrating the 100th anniversary of the acquisition of Temple Newsome House and Estate by the City of Leeds by having a lecture on Friday, 7 for half past in the centre. You've had flyers about this, but importantly, this is the big red letter notice. The service next Sunday is at Temple Newsome House. There will be no service here at 10 o'clock next Sunday. Now, if you need help getting to that service, we've got a list so you can sign up. We'll try and sort out lists. But can you see it as your mission this week? If that message hasn't got through, to pass it to anyone that you might know who might turn up. Next Sunday, 10 o'clock, we're at Temple Newsome House, and we've even got the bishop. Wow! And also, just to say, we are limited in capacity. We've got 150 in the long gallery, which I hope we'll fill. Now, don't panic. You won't be turned away in the sense of, no, you can't come to church. We have got an overflow downstairs. It's the fire officer who tells you how many people you can have. But we hope we can accommodate everyone upstairs. The important thing is, no service here. Do come. You'll be very welcome. And there might even be cake at the end of the service. That's next Sunday.
As those who know the generosity of God, let us confess our sins, especially the ways in which we take creation and God's gifts for granted. Lord, you delight in creation, its colour and diversity. Yet we have misused the earth and plundered its resources for our own selfish ends. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
You have brought out of chaos light in darkness, good out of evil. But we have preferred darkness in words and deeds which dishonour God's holy name. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
You have showered us with blessings, but we have been grudging towards others and lacking in generosity in word and deed. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
May the God of love and power forgive you and free you from your sins, heal and strengthen you by his Spirit, and raise you to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.
Jesus Christ, only Son of God.
Let us pray. God our Father, you never cease the work you have begun, and prosper with your blessing all human labour. Make us wise and faithful stewards of your gifts, that we may serve the common good, maintain the fabric of our world, and seek that justice where all may share the good things you pour upon us. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
A reading from the first letter of Timothy, chapter 6. For we brought nothing into the world, so that we can take nothing from it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with these. But those who want to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by the many senseless and harmful desires that plunge many people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. And in their eagerness to be rich, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. As for those who in the present age are rich, command them not to be haughty or to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but rather on God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of the life that really is life. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away, like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments and you abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love, I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Well, it's been a while since breakfast, so I think it's probably time to munch on an apple. Right, no. You know what they say, though, an apple a day. Well, do you? Keeps the doctor away, or so the proverb goes. And a bit of research from me, it was Wikipedia, actually, says that the proverb goes back to the latter half of the 19th century, and maybe it seeped into common usage because the apple industry needed to boost their sales. I'm not really sure. Interestingly, though, that same Wikipedia article, and obviously we have to take it with a certain amount of
Wikipedia, says that the saying is broadly true, for there has been research to show that eating an apple a day does have the same impact as taking one of those cholesterol-lowering drugs that are common these days. Not that anyone here takes one of those. It also goes on to say that those who eat an apple a day are generally take fewer prescription medications. So it's true. An apple a day keeps the doctor away. Well, perhaps today is an invitation to make a small change and bring the apple back into your daily diet if it's disappeared. Now, before you think this sermon has been sponsored by the Apple Growers Appreciation Society, I begin here because I want to think more widely a bit about how small things, small changes to our lives, can make a big difference. For it was a small beginning for the faith we gather here in the name of this morning. The Christian story began in a small corner of the Roman Empire, began with apparently inconsequential people in small towns and villages, and yet here we are. From a small beginning came a great faith that has shaped so much of how we understand the world. And Jesus, the great storyteller, would often use images of things that are small to capture his listeners' attention. You'll know some of them, but the kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, and if you had faith, like a mustard seed. And the imagery, of course, was built on by the writer of St. John's Gospel when Jesus uses language that speaks of vines and bearing fruit, fruit that will last. But it all begins with a seed, or to use the image with which I began, a pip, from which a tree could grow, a tree that would bear fruit. And that seed was planted in the hearts of individuals who together, just as we are, became the church. A church called to plant seeds in the hearts of women and men about the good news of Jesus Christ. But then as now, that church was living amidst a world with different values and priorities than those of Jesus. So sometimes the lure of wealth and status, the love of money, to quote St. Paul today, has seeped into the soil of the Christian community and poisoned the radical generosity of who we are called to be. Writing to his friend Timothy in the first lesson, he reminds them how those who are rich are trapped by many and senseless desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. But he goes on, this cannot be the way for them. For as long as there is food and clothing, we will be content with these. Now, of course, the cost of living crisis that we are living through at the moment has sharpened our thinking about wants and needs in a way that my generation has never had to. But alongside the challenges, perhaps there's also an opportunity here for those of us who are blessed with employment, with food, clothing, and shelter, to think carefully about what's important to us. To consider how we too are often subtly seduced by the love of money, always wanting to build bigger barns, appointing advisors to manage our wealth. And so in some way accept and support the mantra of more growth and the endless pursuit of profit. And I say that mindful that I've got three people in this sanctuary directly employed by the finance industry. Now, of course, we should be wise stewards of what we have. But Paul's words challenge us to be content with what we have. And more widely, of course, the excessive love of money and profit and belief in growth is part of the backdrop to the challenges we face in the world. And as Christians, we should, I think, consider, with the theme of this week's liturgy in mind, whether our ways of living help us address the climate emergency or catastrophe, as the Archbishop of York called it at our clergy conference a couple of weeks ago, or not. An emergency that can seem so difficult and overwhelming and leave us wondering what on earth difference can we make. Which takes me back to Paul and his vision of contentment, to my apple, and the Jesus who spoke of seeds and small things and of how from small things, great trees and vines, great things can happen. I'm sure I've mentioned before, so you'll have to forgive me, about a chance meeting I had with Peggy, the wife of the great Anglican Bishop John V. Taylor, Bishop of Winchester and a great author and writer. She was approaching her final days, he'd already died, whilst I was on a hospital placement training for the priesthood in Oxford. She was a lovely, gentle woman. I had no idea who she was, really, until the very end. She was alert and alive, even as she came to her death. Taylor had been General Secretary also of the Church Missionary Society, and together they had a vision for living shaped by what they'd seen in Africa and all around the world. And she said in words that continue to haunt me that we must, and they've been put elsewhere, I'm sure, she said, live simply so that others may simply live. Live simply so that others may simply live. Obviously, each of our circumstances differ, but those small changes, learning to live more simply, whether it be in how we shop or recycle, or making sure our houses are well insulated and heated efficiently, whether it be in walking more or riding your bike or using a tablet or iPad instead of a service booklet or simply wearing a jumper instead of turning the heating on, each small choice can make a difference. Just pause for a moment. Just hold Michael in our prayers. No, it's all right with these things. We go with our love and prayers. Each small choice can make a difference. Jesus talked of and lived for the kingdom he proclaimed. The seed planted in the towns and villages spread to every corner of the world. He taught us that even if you feel your faith is like a tiny mustard seed, it can make a difference. It can grow into a tree. Sometimes the challenges before us can seem overwhelming, that it can be tempting to bury our heads in the sand and listen to those who tell us what we want to hear. Yet we are a people of hope who believe and trust that from tiny seeds can come great trees. And here again, some words of a woman much in our thoughts at the moment, who said, "It's worth remembering that it is often the small steps, not the giant leaps, that bring about the most lasting change." So friends, maybe next time you munch on an apple, remember how as well as eating well, you can see the pips. You'll see the pips, the seeds. And they're a reminder that small and insignificant as we can sometimes feel, we can be the change that we want to see in the world. We can be content with what we have and live simply so that others may simply live. Amen.
Let us declare our faith in God. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ,
the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please sit or kneel to pray. Let us give thanks unto God, our Heavenly Father, for all his gifts so freely bestowed upon us. As we mourn the death of Elizabeth, our Queen, let us give thanks to God in faith and trust for the gift of Christ Jesus and for all whose devotion to him has sustained the life of our church and nation. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
For Her Late Majesty Queen Elizabeth II and all the royal family, for the ministers of the Crown and all who bear the privilege and burden of government, let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
For all people touched by Queen Elizabeth's devotion to public service, let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In our Anglican cycle of prayer, we pray for the Anglican Episcopal Church of Brazil, for its congregations, clergy, and bishop. In our diocese, we pray for our three cathedrals and all who work there. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving Lord, your word reminds us how much you value and love children. We pray for the climate crisis and the devastating impact on children's lives and future generations. We thank you for young people and their passion and conviction to care for and protect this world of your creation for the common good. We pray that their actions and words will be taken seriously. We ask that adults, we strive to protect the world that they will grow up in. Lord, in your mercy. At this time of creation tide, dearest Lord, we praise you for our universe with its infinite fascination, for our world with all its wonder, for our countryside with all its beauty, for life itself in all its incredible variety. There is so much that gives us pleasure, that offers us fulfillment, that captures our imagination, that challenges and inspires, that gives us cause to look forward with anticipation, that speaks of your great love for us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Forgive us for so often abusing all you have given, for despoiling our world, for failing to appreciate it as we should, for losing our childlike sense of wonder and inquiry, for treating it as ours by right rather than entrusted as your gift, for being blind to your loving hand moving behind all of creation. Open our eyes to the countless blessings you have so freely given, and help us to show our appreciation by being faithful stewards of your creation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Here at your Church of St. Mary's, we pray for Matthew, Rosemary, and Lynn, thanking them for all they do for us, and for the residents of Park Street, their families and friends. We pray for the baptism service taking place here today, and we pray for Youth Mental Health Day, now taking place on Thursday, for all young people who suffer with mental health issues,
for their families, and for all mental health workers. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, dearest Lord, for all serving in local government, especially Leeds City Council. We pray for the 100th anniversary of the acquisition of Temple Newsham House and Park, which we will celebrate during our Eucharist there next Sunday. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the sick and injured, for the lonely and neglected, for those waiting for hospital test results. Bring them comfort in their reflections and guide the efforts of those who work for their relief. We pray for all unexpected deaths, particularly those of children. We mention by name those who have asked for our prayers. Ginny Camponi, Tom Heafy, Jeff Blowers, Shane Simpson, Jeff Ridster, Lynn Perry, Roger Guy. And we pray for those in long-term care. Margaret Metcalf, Margaret Burton, George Brown, and Jennifer Mould. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all who mourn and for those who have recently died, including Muriel Grimes, Sheila Toews, and Margaret Linda, and for those whose anniversary of death falls at this time. Edna Taylor, Annie Wood, Noah Misrother Brown, Aaron Macy. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, you provide for your people by your power and rule over them in love. Grant to your servant, our King, the spirit of wisdom and discernment, that being devoted to you with his whole heart, he may so wisely govern, that in his time we may live in safety and in peace. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.
I've also mentioned that in the centre there are one or two displays today to help you think a bit more about care of the environment, and I'm thankful for the team for putting those together and all sorts of little practical things that you can do also. You shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Let us offer one another a sign of peace.
Thank you.
Wise and gracious God, you spread a table before us. Nourish your people with the word of life and the bread of heaven. Amen. Amen. The Lord is here.
His spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is indeed right. It is our duty and our joy, always and everywhere, to give you thanks, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God. For you have created the heavens and the earth and formed us in your own image. In the fullness of time, you sent forth your Son, your eternal Word, who laid down his life for our salvation and rose from the grave, the first fruits of your new creation. You send forth your holy and life-giving Spirit to give life to our mortal bodies and to renew the face of the earth. Therefore, with all the heavenly hosts, we give voice to everything that you have made and sing the eternal hymn of praise.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the
Accept our praises, Heavenly Father, through your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And as we follow his example and obey his command, grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us his body and his blood. Who, in the same night that he was betrayed, took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Therefore, Heavenly Father, we remember his offering of himself made once for all upon the cross. We proclaim his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension. We look for the coming of your kingdom, and with this bread and this cup, we make the memorial of Christ, your Son, our Lord.
Great is the mystery of faith.
Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come.
Accept through him, our great High Priest, this our sacrifice of thanks and praise. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts in the presence of your divine majesty, renew us by your Spirit. Inspire us with your love and unite us in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, with all who stand before you in earth and heaven, we worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of everlasting praise. Let us pray with confidence as our Saviour has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Blessed are those who are called to his supper.
Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word, and I shall be healed.
Thank you. Let us pray. Creator God, send your Holy Spirit to renew this living world, that the whole creation, in its groaning and striving, may know your loving purpose and come to reflect your glory in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Creatures stand in expectation. What will be the result of our liberty? As the whole creation looks with eager longing for the redemption of humankind, let us pledge ourselves anew to serve our Creator God, the Father who is maker of all things, the Son through whom all things are made, and the Holy Spirit, the giver of life, who renews the face of the earth. Lord of all life and hope, we pledge ourselves to care for creation, to reduce our waste, to live sustainably, and to value the rich diversity of life. May your wisdom guide us, that life in all its forms may flourish, and may be faithful in voicing creation's praise. God, grant to the living grace, to the departed rest, to the Church, the King, the Commonwealth, and all humankind, peace and concord, and to us and all his servants, life everlasting, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.
Go in peace, and may the commitment we have made this day be matched by our faithful living. Thanks be to God. Amen.